Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We welcome you aboard. Looking forward to having your input, your dialogue, and discussion on the subject matter day by day as we face the issues. And let me remind you once again, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not based on political, ideological dogma, not based on denominational dogma and or rites, rituals, rules, or regulations, but based on the authority of what the Word of God says. There's no better book to turn to than the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God to give us directions for our lives each and every day. I call it facing the issues. As we face the issues, we do so looking at what is truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." He had already said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So how do we be free? How do we become free? How do we know the truth? It's remaining in the truth, remaining in the word of God, that we might allow God through the work of his Holy Spirit to teach us and to direct us as we serve him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today, when the foundations are gone. When the foundations are gone. And we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching, what we're observing, taking place in America today, daily. Whether you're watching it or not, observing it or not, I don't know. I pray that you are cognizant of and aware of what is taking place, and that you are concerned about it enough that at least you're praying and asking God to deliver us as a nation. But the scripture is very clear in Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the foundation, the foundations of our society itself, the foundations of our nation, the foundations of what America is built upon. I'm reading a paragraph here out of a textbook, Foundations of Government and Economics. And this little brief blurb paragraph says, America's foundation upon a widespread respect for biblical Christianity created an atmosphere of religious, political, and economic freedom. When the United States became an independent nation and established a constitutional republic, it was the first time in history that so large an area of the earth was able to follow the principles of free enterprise capitalism, spurred on by respect for the broad truths of biblical Christianity. It goes further to say, it was brought to America and brought to America the greatest wealth and luxury for the greatest number that the world has ever known. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a brief little blurb coming out of a student's book dealing with economics and dealing with the fundamentals and the foundations of our government for America today. But we in society, we in America, we're watching as America is shifting far to the left, and it's undermining our very foundations. Before we get into the further monologue on that, I want to remind you that we are inviting you to worship with us this Sunday. Sunday morning at 9:30 is the Bible study hour, Sunday school hour. At 10:45 and at 7 a.m. and then at 7 p.m., we have our worship services on Sunday. We've met you on the air. We've met you by way of radio. We'd love to meet you in person, have you to be our guest in a special service on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, precisely 1 mile south of I-295. It's our delight to meet you and have the privilege of worshiping you. with you. And if you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a church where the Bible is revered, where the Word of God is respected, where the Word of God is preached verse by verse, where we're not allegorizing the Scripture, but preaching the Word of God, if you're looking for a church where you can sing songs that you understand the words and you don't have your gymnastic exercise on Sunday morning in the services, where you have the opportunity to worship and praise the Lord biblically, if that's what you're looking for, we'd love to have you, love to meet you, love to have the privilege of worshiping with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today with us Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the Bible College and Theology Doctrinal Biblical teachers and professors in Conservative Theological University. It's always a joy to have Dr. Phelps on the set with me, and we can talk about these vital issues. Dr. Phelps, we've got a long way to go in what we're wanting to say and accomplish today, Lord willing. But when we look at our nation, is it visible? Should the average citizen be able to see and understand what is happening and what is taking place? And as Francis Schaeffer said so many years ago, how should we then live? Seeing what we're seeing and knowing what we know, and we're recognizing that we're moving away and our foundations are being destroyed, what do you see that causes you to think that is taking place?
Dr. Youngblood, I'm reminded of a news item that I saw several years ago about an incident that took place in California. There was this house that just slid down the hill and crumbled. And when they investigated, they found that its foundations were on a sewer line. And so the house had no good foundation.
Had a rotten foundation.
Rotten foundation.
And so it just destroyed the foundation. In fact, that reminds me, because even here in our city, there's oftentimes television advertisements where a person has a problem with the door closing because it's dragging the door jams, where there's cracks in the sheetrock or in the peripheral curtain wall around the foundation of the house, and they call in these companies to check it. And they usually discover that there's a weak or broken or failing or falling, decaying foundation. And so we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, not just the foundation physically of a home or building, but we're talking about the foundations of our great nation. Dr. Phelps, we're watching that foundation being destroyed, being washed away, if you will, every day. Some of the things that we see, and I'll touch on a few of these and let you respond to them. We're watching our moral, ethical, biblical foundations crumbling. Some of that is on as a result of what is called the LGBTQ agenda, better known, as I put it, as the Sodomite agenda. They're recruiting our sons and our daughters, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you ever be deceived in thinking that somehow, some way, we're to embrace that lifestyle, even though you have some pastors and religious leaders tell you that. Don't you dare think that we're to embrace that lifestyle and think that it's all right, even though entire denominations are telling you that that is the case. Don't you ever believe that it is harmless and will not hurt and destroy our nation? Dr. Phelps, I believe we can just look back at history, at the implosion of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was not destroyed by an outside force or because of war coming in and war machinery. It imploded from within.
Yes.
And as best I can recall, Dr. Phelps, and you clarify it and correct me if I'm incorrect, the best I can understand, one of the major, major, major fundamental flaws in the Roman Empire was the Sodomite lifestyle. And as a result of them wanting more and more pleasure, less and less work, greater and greater pay, and a pleasure style that is found in perversion, as a result of that, the Roman Empire imploded internally, just destroyed. Do you see that potentiality for America today? And based on the Word of God, how should we respond? What should we do?
One of the things that I found in the study of history is that we don't learn from history.
That's right.
We have our history textbooks. We have our Bible, which is a book about many things that were historically true. And I go back to the time of King Asa. He was one of the good kings found in the book of 2 Chronicles. And it was said of him that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes.
And in that text, it tells us that he would seek the Lord. And he had his people, his men, to go out and to tell people about the Lord and that they should seek him. And in his time, there were many, many occasions when the nation would turn away from God. Bible tells us in scriptures that if we forsake him, he'll forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. There was a man of God called Azariah. He went to meet Asa when he was out in the field and returning possibly from a battle. And he said to King Asa, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And the Bible tells us in the same text that Israel, the people of God, the land of Israel, had been without the true God. That is, people had just simply turned away. There was an apostasy of what I call idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And they were without law. They were a lawless people. They were without a teaching minister. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. That means if they turned to God in repentance, then God would then hear them and God would be with them. And we were told that prior to that time, there was no peace in the land. There was great vexation upon the inhabitants of the country. The nation then would have battles with other nations, possibly local areas, and they had great adversity. And so he was encouraged then to seek the Lord and find the Lord in the Lord the help they needed.
Based on what you're saying and looking at King Asa, and by the way, I believe it's in 1 Kings 15, it talks about King Asa, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. One of the things that he did, which some might get a little uptight with, he either slew or drove out of the cities all the Sodomites. He cleaned house. But as you're saying, Dr. Phelps, based on what we find in the scripture, as we turn away from God, as we deflect our attention and our focus from God, there's a greater and greater declension and greater destruction and greater decay and demise of our foundation.
Yes, sir. One of the things I learned from history was there was a Frenchman by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville. He came to our country and did a lot of observation, and he said this about our country. He says, "America is great because America is good. If America ceases to be good, then America will cease to be great."
Couldn't have a greater statement to tie that into where we are and what we're seeing today. Let me remind our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, you tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. I'm talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps is a Bible doctrinal theological teacher and professor in Conservative Theological University. He has a tremendous background in teaching the Word of God, and we're talking about today when the foundations are gone. What happens when our foundations are destroyed? You can call us at 831-0917, 831-0917. Drop in by way of telephone call. Ask your question, join in the dialogue and discussion. Be delighted to have you do so. Dr. Phelps, not just our moral, ethical foundations are crumbling as we see the LGBTQ and the agenda of recruiting our children, but also academic institutions are literally brainwashing our children today, not educating them. America, by the way, and our listeners may not be aware of this, America is in the lowest echelon of the academic students in the world. We have plummeted and plummeted year after year, yet we're spending more on academics, more on education than any other nation in the world per student. And yet we're having less and less education because the focus is more, ladies and gentlemen, on the brainwashing process. Most are not aware of the fact that in our schools today, they're teaching Islam and how to convert to Islam. In our schools today, under the guise of sex education, they're teaching raw pornography and teaching our children to be involved as the promiscuous being rather than obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As a result of that, then we sit back and wonder as a people, what causes our teenagers to be so rebellious? What causes them to go awry? What causes them to get involved in drugs and drinking? What causes them to become involved in promiscuity? It's because that's what they're being taught. They're being told that and taught that in our educational system. That is that the very foundation of our generation today and future generations that's being undermined and destroyed. And it's because we banned the Bible in the classroom, we banned prayer in the classroom, and now many of our schools across the nation, ladies and gentlemen, won't even allow the pledge to the flag because it somehow is a divisive feature in our nation today. Our public libraries are allowing drag queens, that is those that are perverted pedophiles and perverts, to come in and dress in all kind of outlandish makeup and dress, and have our boys and girls and grandkids, toddlers and up, sitting and listening to everything they say and watching their every movement. And our parents seemingly are dumb, ignorant, stupid, whatever you want to call it, to the degree that they don't recognize that that group there is there to recruit our sons and daughters, to recruit those children into that lifestyle. Our nation is on a fast track via the Socialist Democratic Party today to make America a socialist, communistic nation that's void of God. Dr. Phelps, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. I believe you are. That's just been a few weeks back that one of the congressmen in the House was all uptight about the name God or about saying anything about swearing in a speaker and having the oath of saying, under God, or so help me God. And he said, it's hard to use God in a synagogue or in a church or in a cathedral, but God has no place in Congress. Now, that's a good indication of a moral declension, an ethical declension, where God is literally being banned from our public arena. What are some of the things that we see today, Dr. Phelps, as indicators of where we're going and what is taking place, lest we look up, listen up, and speak up and do something?
One of the things that I realize today is that our society, and especially in our elected leaders to our Congress and our local assemblies, that we're leaning toward socialism. Mm-hmm. Socialism is a form of bureaucratic governmental control that has become very prevalent in our day. Ronald Reagan said something several years ago. He says, we've been creeping closer to socialism, a system that everyone or someone once said works only in the heaven where it isn't needed, and in hell where they've already got it.
That's right.
As an economic system, socialism's key tenet is that government, not individuals, should own control of a nation's resources. So we have the political movement today towards socialism, and it's been working for some time now. And it's a theory that maintains that the individual is not important when compared to the welfare of the group. And as a religious faith, socialism teaches that man is basically good, but has been corrupted by society, and that man's goodness will express itself if given the right environment.
Yes, and some of that is being promulgated through that, Dr. Phelps. We've got what I call the Mad Squad. I started out calling them the Mod Squad. There was an old TV program many years ago called the Mod Squad, and so I started calling them the Mod Squad as the four women, the freshmen, four of the freshmen in the U.S. House of Representatives, led by AOC. And the thing that I find so disconcerting is that these four, the Mad Squad, they're mad at everything, mad at God, mad at the country, mad at our system. Ilhan Omar, which came from Somalia, we saved her out of Somalia, and now she hates America. And she's recently said, and I've got a massive plethora of material about her. And she has said that she definitely wants to wipe out the capitalistic system. We must have a socialistic America. And most are not aware of the fact that she is an absolute Islamic. She's a jihadist, and she believes that the Christian Constitution, the Constitution of the United States of America, and that Christians and that those that are for the capitalistic system must be removed or destroyed in order to have the socialistic, communistic system put in place. And so, Dr. Phelps, I'm amazed to see that Nancy Pelosi and the entire House, U.S. House of Representatives, are allowing these four women on the Mad Squad to control the destiny of America and destroy our foundation, the capitalistic system, the fundamentals of our constitutional republic, literally being destroyed by these four renegades that's in the House. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is we're watching academically, morally, ethically, socially, spiritually, we're watching the foundation of our great nation being destroyed. And Dr. Phelps, I am disconcerted over it because I see very few Christians standing up and saying anything. I find almost zero zip, no pastors willing to preach about it from the pulpits. And yet we have banned the Bible. We banned prayer. We banned the cross in the public areas. God's been expelled from the House, the halls of Congress. We've stooped to the lowest level morally and ethically when we see the presidential candidates in open sodomite lifestyle, as Mayor Pete, as they call him, which is I think he's, 36, 37 years of age, brags about the fact that he's married to a man, says that he's a Christian, and said that he has had the most delightful life and that God has so blessed him, especially since he found his husband and is married to him. Dr. Phelps, that's a good indicator, I think, when you see any nation where they start going down the track of sodomite lifestyle. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed as a result of that, and we're finding Pete Buttigieg being praised by being such a communicator and such a skilled politician. So, Dr. Phelps, talk with us about what we see taking place morally, ethically, biblically, and the declension. What are some of the causes and effects of what we're seeing? Where are we going with this? Where will the end result be?
One of the things that I have learned about these different forms of government is that socialism can be the ruination of a country. We find that in our day, we have a prime example of how socialism ruins a nation when we look at Venezuela.
Yes.
What is happening there can happen here. We live in a republic. Ours is a republic system of government that combines what we call monarchy, the rule of one, aristocracy, the rule of the few, and a democracy, the rule of the many. Now, our American form of government is a federal republic in which government power and authority is distributed then among the national, state, county, and municipal governments. But we find that there's a great appeal to socialism today, and it's based on human weakness, the desire to avoid responsibility, and the craving for things given, that is, receiving free stuff. It offers security as a substitute for opportunity. We believe that Christians have a responsibility to our government. And the Bible gives two specific commands to Christians of all nations during any time in history concerning their response to their government. There are two things. We're commanded to pray for those in authority over us, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And number two, we're commanded to respect our rulers and to support them, be in subjection to them, whether we agree with them or not. We truly have the freedom as Christians in America to be the salt of the earth and hold back the corruption in our society today. Some things that we can do, we have responsibilities as Christians today. In the providence of God, we have an American system that's limited in its government under the rule of law. It's our privilege and responsibility as Christians, as citizens in America, to preserve and improve our form of civil government by every constitutional and legal means. In our American form of civil government, the purpose of government is to protect its citizens from foreign enemies, to secure our constitutional rights of life, liberty, and property. And so what we need to do then is to try to preserve our constitutional republic. One of the ways we can do that is to, of course, to pray that God will preserve our country till Jesus comes.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, what happens when there's the action of what I call refusing to honor God? What happens? What is the aftermath of that if we refuse to honor God in a society today?
If we refuse to honor God and serve Him, then we're going to forget God. God will just be erased from the memory of many people. And that's already happened, of course. But if we preserve our constitutional republic, we must be diligent. I believe that if we're going to see our country preserved, we must be reminded that if we leave God out of our government, out of our lives, and decency, morality, self-restraint, out of our thinking and living, American liberty will not last.
It cannot last. It cannot be sustained without a dependence upon God. Ladies and gentlemen, if we do not have a point of reference, i.e. the Scripture, if we do not have a foundation to stand upon, Jesus said that the foundations, if they're destroyed, if there's division in a house or in a home or family or in a nation, it's going to fall. And we're watching that today as we're watching us forget God. Dr. Phelps, our flag is a good indication and an illustration of our nation and our togetherness. The flag is being removed. They refuse to acknowledge our national heritage. Islamic Sharia law is rapidly being forced upon American citizens. We have redefined marriage in contrast to what God's Word says about marriage. And no longer do we have churches, denominations standing for the truth of the Word of God and what God's Word says about marriage and about the fact of sin. Today, the mob rules, and it's Islamic acceptance, and it's, I believe, death by way of abortion and drug-induced stupidity is prevailing in our nation today. So we've got about 2 minutes on the broadcast. Dr. Phelps, would you wrap us up with biblical truths that we should be focused on, turned back to, and asking God to intervene for us as a nation?
The Scriptures tell us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. And one of the greatest sins, I think, that's pervading our society today is the lack of participation. We need to participate. We have the rights of freedom to worship. Our responsibility, therefore, to maintain that is to honor God in our worship in our lives. Many people in our country believe in freedom and appreciate the many great blessings we have in our country, but they don't honor God by attending a church service. The Bible tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We have freedom of speech, and our responsibility is to speak honestly, purely, respect the rights of others. We have the freedom to vote, but many people do not participate.
That's right.
By voting. We have the freedom to earn a living in your chosen vocation. We have the freedom to assemble. And so we need to recognize so many of the things in our country that are un-American, anti-Christian activities, and many of the things that are going on in our day, and avoid them.
Yes. And one of the final things, Dr. Phelps, I believe that we need to do, and I'm reminded of that, and I'm sure that you are also. It's been found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll close the broadcast with this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Our land needs healing, Dr. Phelps. And I pray, ladies and gentlemen, we'll turn back to God, seek His face, and come before Him confessing our sin. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to the next time on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.